You're listening to the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Hello, everyone. As the NHL season nears conclusion, it is time for us to start checking in with the San Jose Sharks to see what they have been up to in their offseason. For this first episode, I chatted with Henry Thrun, who played 51 games for the Sharks last year, scoring 3 goals to go with 8 assists, and showed the potential he has for the future. Earlier this week, we chatted about everything that's gone down since April 18th, the last time the Sharks played. All right, we are now joined on the Sharks Audio Network by Henry, a.k.a. Hank Thrun. Mr. Thrun, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ted. Thanks for having me, Ted.
How has your summer been? Obviously, the last Sharks game was April 18th. That was 2 months ago. We're recording this on June 18th. It's been a little bit. How have those 2 months away from the ice been treating you?
Yeah, it's been a good summer so far. Got some rest, those first 2 weeks after the season, and kind of got away from the rink a little bit and went and, played some golf and tried to get outside and mix things up a little bit. And then was pretty eager to get back in the gym. So got back into training pretty quickly, and then slowly starting to ramp up the skating load now too, which has been good.
Yeah, when did you get back on the ice for the first time?
I think this is my 4th week on the ice. Oh, wow. So call it it's probably last week in May. Yeah, 3rd, 4th week. So last week in May.
Nice. Just out of curiosity, when you've been off the skates for a bit and then you get back on there, what feels the most sore? Is it the ankles? Is it your groin? Is it your quads? What muscle are you suddenly aware of when you haven't skated for a while and you do get back on the ice?
Yeah, you got to be careful of the groins. It's one of those things where at least walking day to day and, everyday life, you probably don't use them a ton. And then when you hop on the skates, you got to kind of ramp into it slowly, because you can take a couple hard strides and hear something pop pretty quick.
Yeah. Nobody wants to do that. The groin injury, everyone talks about hamstrings, but I think if you've ever pulled a groin, you know that there's almost, you could just be walking once you do it, and you could still find a way to aggravate it once again. So it's it's best to be avoided. What is, when you get back into the gym, what is that looking like for you? I mean, I know that I've talked to other guys and they always say that, their numbers, what they're lifting at the end of a season versus the start of the season are wildly different, because obviously your body's gassed. At that point, you're so much focused on conditioning as opposed to, true strength. Like, do you go right back to what you were doing the previous preseason, or do you kind of have to build your way back into it?
No, it's a slow progression as well. The first, 2-3 weeks in the gym is honestly just general strength and just kind of reconnecting all the tissues and basically just getting your body to a healthy state again before you can kind of put some load on it. So the first couple of weeks are just basically general strength. And then from there, as you mentioned, it slowly starts to kind of ramp up and hit those numbers that you were at the prior off season.
And then the more difficult question, were you watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, or did you not want to watch since you weren't involved?
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed emotion type of thing. Obviously, hope to be in that position at some point. But I think it's a good opportunity to watch games, both from a learning perspective, but also from a fan perspective. Like, I love watching hockey. I love seeing other players play. A couple teams I like to watch. So it's I have followed along.
So 2 years ago, you played the final 8 games of the season. This last year, you played 51 games. Mm-hmm. How much wildly different is your game now? How much more do you know now that you didn't know, a year and a couple months ago before you played in those first NHL games? I'm sure that the 8 games was a great experience, but now playing the lion's share of a season last year, you probably have a very good idea of what you needed to focus on in the off season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing that comes to mind is just a more of a maturity in my game. I think, the NHL is obviously the best league in the world, and, you gotta put together 82 games. So for me, playing in college, I felt that, was able to dictate pace a little bit more and obviously, was going out there in every situation, and fortunately the shark with the Sharks this year, I was able to sort of play in a lot of different spots as well. But I think just recognizing that, being reliable every night, you know, figuring out how to be someone that can be, you know, play 20 plus minutes a night and recognize, you know, where your strengths and weaknesses are and kind of, and go from there.
You also had, I think 4 points on the power play. And I talked to you about this before when I called a Barracuda game last November. It was interesting watching you run the point on those and then to see you do it again at the NHL level, because it didn't look very different. Like, it looked like Henry Thrun, you know, at the A was doing the same thing in the NHL. It looked like you were very comfortable bringing the puck up, you know, playing it to other guys, making things happen. Was that, I don't know, is that a comfort area, or was it just kind of like, no, I knew what my role was well enough that I didn't feel too much pressure in those situations?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, the power play is a spot that I've always played in my career, something I feel comfortable doing. Honestly, I've played a lot of different spots on the power play as well, whether it be up top or my offside or in the middle. I've kind of rotated through, so I feel comfortable out on there on the man advantage, and it's something that, you know, there's a lot of good players, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of good players in the NHL and a lot of good players on our team, so that as well makes it a little bit easier, recognizing that, you know, you're going to move to someone in a good play is going to be made. So, you know, I find myself, particularly on the power play, as a distributor and someone that is going to be able to kind of facilitate plays and help set up other guys. So it's something that I've always been comfortable with. And, you know, at the pro level, it's something that I want to continue to improve on.
You obviously, at your first season, only got 8 games at the end, but you did get to see Erik Karlsson up close and personal. And, you know, he's one of the great transporters of the puck, and, you know, he can do so much on those power plays. Was that a learning experience to watch him and how he goes about his business?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he obviously is a world-class talent. You know, to be a Norris Trophy winner puts yourself in a pretty elite category. So to share the ice with him and to see him every day, you know, and the things that he could do during a game were pretty, pretty spectacular. So he obviously, you know, is produces at an extremely high clip and is someone that is, has always done that. And he produces his offense in certain ways. And there's parts of that I try to steal from him. And then there's other parts that I feel are probably, you know, more suited for his game. And I'll try to, you know, steal just, the things that I think can apply to myself.
Now, do you look at other players, and if you see them do something, do you think to yourself, I'm going to try that, I'm going to look at what they do, and I'm going to try and implement that in my own game? Or do you just try to develop what is there naturally and see what other guys are doing and think, okay, what in my own game can I develop that might become a lethal move like player XYZ is able to do?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ted. I think it's a combination of both. You know, I feel that I have a pretty good idea of the type of player that I am and the one that I want to become. So that kind of sets me down the path that I want to go on. And while I'm on that path, you know, you can look at different guys and say, oh, you know, maybe I'll steal that, or maybe I like what that guy's doing, and pick pieces here and there. But it's not something that I think, you know, you try to emulate every single thing that one guy does, or try to steal, you know, every move that one guy makes. It's something that, as I mentioned, you know, every player is unique and individual and has natural skill sets that come really easily to them. So it's a matter of, you know, making those really, really elite, and then making your weaknesses, try to bring them up to more of an average level. So it's a combination of both.
Yeah, I asked Mario a while ago if his old college friend Cale Makar could teach him that 360 spin move to the outside off the wall, and
yeah,
he just said he could try. He said, I'm not sure I could learn, but he could try.
Yeah, exactly.
Ryan Warsawski named the new head coach. You know, I know you said you saw a little bit of the press conference yesterday, and, you know, just your reactions and, you know, hearing that change for the team coming forward.
Yeah, truthfully, watching the press conference, the first thing that came to mind is, I want to play for this guy, which is something that is, I think, a pretty unique thing to feel. And honestly, I've never really had that feeling before, but just watching, you know, how much it means to him to be able to be our coach and our leader, and to see, you know, just hear him talk about the plans he has and how emotional he got, just referencing, you know, where he's came from and just how much this opportunity means to him is something that it truthfully just, it's to me, it was, really made me feel like this is the guy I want to play for.
Yeah, it was exciting, and it was authentic too. Like, I we played some clips from some former players of his who said that, you know, he brings you into the fire with him. And like, I appreciate that because you can't, that's not like a motivation tactic. That's not something contrived or like something made up. Like his passion is such, like you're alluding to, like it draws you in. Like you want to, you know, play for him. You want to run through a brick wall for him or skate through a brick wall in your instance. I think it's cool though, that he has that impact on people because that's not a gimmick. Like that's something that just is who he is.
Yeah, no, it's super cool. And I mean, I can think back to during the year, just the way he communicates and addresses, you know, the group is unique in the sense that, as you said, he kind of brings you into the fight and you almost forget that he's a coach at points. Cause he references like us as a group and like, he's a part of it. And like when we're performing poorly, he feels like he's a part of it. And when we're doing great, like he's just as excited as any other player. So it's something that you really feel like he's one with the group. And as you mentioned, he has a really innate ability to kind of, you know, bring you into the fight, as you had said.
How much does the fact that he was there before, do you think is that going to help the process? Because while I'm sure his structure and his tactics are going to be his own, I'm sure a lot of you guys are already, for lack of a better term, speaking his language since you've been around him, you know, in your instance, you know, since the end of the year prior and, you know, for the majority of last year and for some guys the last 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's obviously a comfort level with him regardless of the position you play, just from seeing him every day at the rink and working with him on our staff. So I think that that's a huge aspect, and hopefully, you know, going into training camp in the first part of the year, that'll kind of provide a little bit more of a jump start for us, that we have someone behind the bench that we've obviously is new, but is someone that we're familiar with, and everyone really will have a prior existing relationship with them. So hopefully that'll be beneficial for us.
How many of the guys are you keeping in touch with in the off season? Is there a text chain with a bunch of you guys?
Yeah. There's a handful of guys that I'll text here and there, which is good to just kind of hear from them and see what's going on. So it seems like everyone's doing well.
What was your reaction to the team earning the number one pick?
Yeah, it was super exciting. Obviously, kept my phone nearby that night just in anticipation of the news. And when I saw that we got the opportunity to pick first, it definitely, as a player, it's something that it excites you, right? Like you get that pick the year before, you get a fourth overall pick with Will Smith. It's something that those are obviously really valuable opportunities and players that you can get. So it's something that I think it provides a lot of excitement, at least for myself as a player, knowing that there's movement forward and there's kind of a progression with the organization as a whole. And I think that's, you know, just having some new faces and having some young guys will definitely provide a little bit more spark in the room, I think.
Do you know Will or Quentin Musty at all?
Yeah, I know Will. He obviously is from the Boston area as well. So someone that, I saw him when he was in high school and obviously knew from an early age that he was a pretty legit player. And then Quinn was someone that I was able to meet at training camp and spend some time with, who's also another great guy. So it's two big pieces that are really good hockey players as well.
Yeah, especially big with Quinn. He's like 6'4". Like as he continues to fill out, man, like that's a big body out there that's going to be out there on the ice. And then, you know, you look at another dude like Shakir Mukhmudulin, who obviously got to have a little bit of time up with the Sharks this year. It's, you know, for you, it's got to be exciting to have a lot of your cohorts, guys that you know through the dev camp last year or came in with you, you know, towards the end of the year, like Thomas Bortolo, who got more and more time, that you guys are, you know, part of this core that's the future of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is a good, it's something that, as you mentioned, you know, being familiar with them from dev camp and training camp and spending time together, it's really, you know, a credit to the management and the staff. You know, it wasn't, they brought out, you know, a handful of older guys for development camp, like myself and a couple other guys around my age, to just be around some of the younger new prospects. And that's something that I don't think every NHL team does. So it obviously gives you familiarity with those guys. It kind of builds a sense of culture around the organization. So then when you get to development camp, you see a guy you saw at development, or excuse me, when you get to training camp and you see a guy you saw at development camp, it's a little bit more relationship built. You know, you can catch up on some things, and it just feels like it's a good overall kind of culture that I think the staff is building.
So what's the plan for when you get out here before the upcoming season?
Yeah, it'll for the rest of the summer, just a lot of gym time and a lot of skating, obviously. Just trying to get the body prepped and some add some new skills over the summer that hopefully I can utilize throughout the year, and then should be out in San Jose, a couple weeks early, and hopefully get with the guys and kind of get my bearings back together out there, and then hopefully have a good training camp.
Nice, man. Well, enjoy the rest of your summer and getting ready. And we're excited for what you showed last year, obviously, as we got to see a lot more of your game. And again, for the future coming up, all very exciting, Hank. So enjoy, and I'll bug you again soon. All right, man.
Thanks, Ted. It was good to see you.
Fun hearing from Hank Thrun there. Stay tuned to the Sharks Audio Network for all Sharks coverage throughout the offseason, including more of these offseason check-ins. And we've got the draft party coming up live from SAP Center on the 28th of June. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify, and on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yend.